Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey folks, listen up. Go to our website for a free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime Instant Video. All you have to do is go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the white banner that says Amazon Prime Instant Video. It's free. And now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
On yesterday's show, gentlemen, we were talking about the lady that had the meltdown in the grocery store.
Right.
And I was telling you that Rob, I think, brought it up, that you have liquor in the grocery store up in Maine, and it's one of the things you don't get in Virginia.
It's wonderful.
And it's really kind of cool. And it is cool because your liquor stores are inside the grocery store, and I think that's kind of cool. I like that. The other thing I noticed was craft brews like I have never seen before.
Like with baby marshmallows?
All over. No, not craft. Craft breweries.
Oh,
you know,
I understand.
Like beers.
Like, yeah, microbreweries.
You know what a craft brew is. Mr. Santana
just
has
silly.
His own with Chad Dukes.
And
what's that skip back? Is that the Skype thing that you have turned up a little bit?
Skype is maybe? Off. Skype is off.
The
okay.
Maneuver.
The Maneuver. You've got your own brew, right?
Yeah.
What's it called for Big Owen Dukes?
The Maneuver.
What's
the... from Mad Fox Brewing Company.
They're based
Mad
in Fox
Church, Brewing,
right?
All day IPA.
So the Mad Fox, and there are craft brews around the D.C. area. Nothing like there is up here. I mean, amazing amounts
of
different places that brew beer.
I think craft brewing sort of happened up there, didn't it? Didn't it sort of originate in the northeastern part of our United
well,
States?
Well, that could be based on what I saw in the grocery store, but I will tell you something. Every now and then, there is a new product that is on a store shelf in a grocery store that I have to acquire immediately, price being no object. There was a six-pack of beer. It had its own special display case.
Oh,
and
an impulse
soon
buy,
as I,
Mike. It's called
as
an
soon
end,
as I
end
saw
cap.
This... I saw this product and said, my two cohorts, Mr. Santana and Spiewak, are going to love this product. So I'm not going to tease anymore.
Oh, okay. So it had its own
display.
I'm going to
show you the six-pack. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Smiling Irish Bastard Beer.
And it's a
smiling,
cop.
This
it's a famous
phenomenal.
Cop.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Apparently a beloved cop.
Oh,
a
no.
Beloved, a beloved
oh,
cop.
Oh, it's like they asked me to design it. It's horrible.
It's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Absolutely
this
hilarious.
Is, I will give them a plug, even though they are not advertisers. I will try to get them on the show because it is amazing.
Yeah.
Gagans.com. There are, this is the quote from the brewmaster, there are only two kinds of beer, good and great. Here's the, so I was enjoying last evening a Smiling Irish Bastard.
There
wow.
Look at
very
that.
Very cool.
Mike, when you look at that beer bottle, is it like looking in a mirror?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Look at my Smiling Irish Bastard face. Oh, this is so fantastic. Where the hell? I'm being a bastard. Where'd I put my glasses?
Can you explain a little better? Can you talk to us about the flavor?
Yeah. We know that there is a cop on the label,
yes.
And he probably had potatoes for dinner.
All right,
but what
is
the flavor of the beer? Is
our
so
breweries,
key.
Our brewer's favorite staple beer is copper in color with moderate maltiness and features grapefruit hop character. This pale is brewed with traditional Cascade hops from the Pacific Northwest that linger on your palate. Linger. The Smiling Irish Bastard salutes Officer Bernie Welch, a legend in the Bangor Police Force from... I can't read it. Hold on. From Freeze's Department Store through Devil's Half Acre. With his billy club in hand, he wiped the smile off more than one hooligan's face while keeping Bangor's downtown safe. So that's the guy. I guess he was a tough cop.
A real
He's a legend.
Cop.
He's a legend.
He's a legendary cop, and it's called Smiling Irish Bastard.
I love
Great
the fact-
reviews online, Mike. Great reviews online.
Unbelievable reviews
yes.
online. I popped one open last night, and I will tell you something. It, you know, when something with this great a name, it really didn't have to taste good.
Exactly.
But it actually did. And then I did a little research, and they got themselves up in Bangor, a little brew pub up there. And I'll make some inquiries and see if we can get one of our, much like the Donut Man, see if we can get a Smiling Irish Bastard on the show.
How much?
Yeah, how much for the six?
I'm not sure how much it was, but it was
$1 million.
I did not even look at the price when I was acquiring this because I saw the name and I told you it could have been gold bullion. I would have put it down on the conveyor belt to get that out of the
store.
What's
great about that is when you talk about that it has notes of, and you know, I like when they describe it almost like a wine, notes of grapefruit.
Ooh.
That makes it a traditional summer beer. So when it gets hot up there, that's going to be really a refreshing brew to go to.
It's the beer that makes this smiling Irish bastard want to yell at his neighbors for running their ATV too long. Yum, yum.
How much alcohol again? I apologize.
Let me see.
Yeah, what's the percentage?
I don't know if you mentioned.
Where do they put that on here?
It's on the label?
Probably the lower part of the label.
Well, because of my macular degeneration, based on the fact that I have been consuming alcohol, I can't tell you what I know this term, the ABV is.
Oh.
Oh.
Look at you.
I can only tell you that the ABV based
on... Not mentioned
on
the website?
No, for some reason. Mm. It's got to be high. What?
Here's how I know
it's
got a high ABV because I thought that there were four left. There are actually three left.
Oh.
Daddy killed half the six-pack last.
Daddy drinky. Yeah. Daddy drunky.
And then Daddy said, oh, the sun is up so early. Look at that Irish bastard sun.
I'm going to call the Elsewhere store.
That's S-U-N, by the way. S-U-N.
How dare you?
Yeah, you see,
I'm
going to
call the local Elsewhere store. Hello, Irish 100. Is there a chance that you could have a... I'm looking for a particular libation that you might be selling in your stores.
Is there any chance that you may have the smiling Irish bastard in your store? Thank you very much.
And Mike, as long as you're doing Barry Fitzgerald, ask if they can deliver to the rectory.
Could you deliver it over to the rectory? I got a funeral this afternoon, and I'd like to have a taste before I go there and console the widow O'Malley. I'm very, very sad about that, yes. Oh, I'm a smiling Irish bastard and I'm drinking all the booze.
Anyway, but that's it.
This.
Smiling Irish man.
Love
bastard.
It. Great.
So I took two sips of it and I wanted to have 15 children and smack my neighbor. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You know who else has been pissing me off lately? Google. You guys know Google? A couple of people have heard of it. The rest of you guys are like, Google? What's Google? Google it and find out. Friends, the only way to learn anything anymore is to Google it. And that was fine at first because things were simple. It was like Google was my friend, right? I'd be like, hey, Google, what do you know about this? And Google would be like, well, Ben, here's what I've got for you. Things were simple then. Google was my friend. But somewhere along the line, things changed and Google turned into that annoying friend who will never let you finish a story because it keeps interrupting you, trying to guess the ending before you can get to it. All right, now I sit down, I type the letter P, and Google is like, Pacific Ocean? Is it Pacific Ocean? Is it pacifier? Is it Packrat? Is it peanuts? I need to know what it is right now. Tell me what it is right now. I can't wait anymore.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cabby Fiverr studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do the whole show like that.
On the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by HomeLight. Listen, every now and then in a DJ's world, one has to pick up stakes and move cross country or to a smaller market for less money. And what does he have to do? He has to sell that big old house he bought foolishly 6 months before he knew he was going to get S-Can. Buying and selling a house, very, very difficult. Biggest decision most people make in their lifetime. Here's what you need. You need this company. Remember it. HomeLight. HomeLight. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
HomeLight.
Nice.
It's the new way to find your perfect real estate agent. HomeLight has technology that analyzes home sales data and client reviews, finds the best agent for you based on actual past performance. Now that you do this, whether you're buying a house or selling a house, you need HomeLight because their agents rock. They were founded by Stanford grads. They're backed by Google. HomeLight agents are all top five producers. They are proven to sell faster for up to a 9% higher selling price. That means they get the creme de la creme. HomeLight has already helped thousands of folks in the D.C. area and all over the U.S. I want you to visit HomeLight.com today. That's HomeLight.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter the promo code TMOS to contact your perfect agent through the HomeLight website or call 844-321-AGENT and tell them that Mike sent you. HomeLight.com, the best way to find a real estate agent. I will tell you that I had a bit of a senior moment this morning with my son as we were watching Barney.
Oh, it's not a good show, Mike.
Well, let me just say this. When you're 55... And that's when you real. There are moments where you just go, not what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Not what I should. And we turn on Barney. He is bright enough where he is on the fence with Barney, and he is not necessarily committing to Barney. When the kids show up and not the cute little dinosaur, he gets bored. He's like, I want to move on to the animation. Or he wants to watch the planes video on YouTube.
Of
course. Animated planes. But here's the thing, Rob. I don't know if you're going to even be able to help me with this.
What's that?
When did they get the new Barney voice?
They changed his voice?
They changed Barney's voice. Barney was... This was Barney's voice.
Yeah, forever.
It? This is a hello to all of my friends. I did an impression. Now you've got a guy that's like, this is Barney's voice now. It's a higher register. It's a different dude.
Are you sure you're not watching like the knockoff Bernie?
I'm just curious whether
Bernie whether Harry, the dinosaur?
Harry Shearer was doing the voice of Barney.
I'm looking for it right
and
now.
And you know what? The stupid thing is that with the market.
Or could it be Barney just getting old?
Maybe Barney had a stroke?
It's like,
a purple
hello,
stroke.
Hello to all my friends. Turns into, hello to all my friends. How are you?
Well, you see.
It might sound like an old Jewish guy, to be honest with you.
The market that they cater to is, you know, not particularly observant and also ever-changing. I would think once they got about 100 episodes of Barney in the can, it would be good forever. They would never need to do new Barney content.
I just remember a distinctly different voice.
Well, I know the voice you mean,
When my kids were young, and now it seems to... Is there any information on the voice of Barney?
I'm looking right now, and it doesn't look like they've changed voices.
The new Barney, Mike, it says here, the new Barney is being voiced by Abe Vigoda.
Let me see.
Which is a...
Yeah, I'm
now we all... Speaking of Google, just like the beginning, all right. All right, the voice of
I put that in, and
do you
really...
have any? You've got youngsters that you occasionally see.
Oh yeah,
they're way past Barney, right?
Don't.
Yeah,
they're past that. Yeah. Luckily, I missed that.
Robert watches American Ninja Warrior.
Hey, by the way,
what
an okay show.
Oh, it's so bad
when you're just hanging out.
Well, you know, maybe I should have had the wine before I drank it,
and they
before I watched it.
This
Barney was created all the way back in 1987. By the way.
Wow.
That's a long time ago.
That is
a long time ago.
I thought he'd be extinct by now.
Funny, Rob. funny, Rob. You get that?
A&W had this one young lady you might have seen in this past season or that she actually completed.
Did you actually refer to it by the acronym A&W?
Yeah, American
Ninja
Warrior.
I thought he was talking about root beer.
Yeah. That's what I'm
saying. A&W.
Yeah, American Ninja Warrior.
I have a secret passion for that show.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like kids' shows, don't you?
No, it's not a kids' show. It's an adult show.
It's for the dim-witted adult.
What's that song that you sing all the time?
Which
Butterfly
song?
In the Sky?
Oh, yeah.
The
Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow. Yeah, but that's...
Reading Rainbow. You like children.
Because Reading Rainbow taught me how not to read, but English.
Okay,
that that's, and Sesame Street
that's
together.
Open. That's open for consideration.
Yeah. Okay,
you know, I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them.
Sexual chocolate. That boy's good. I like him.
I believe that children are our future.
I don't think they changed the voice.
Then
it,
it's
there's nothing
then
on
it's
there.
The same. Well, then 87 is like me. That's when I sort of started my radio career. And you're talking about somebody getting older.
So Charlie is. I mean, Barney's like sick Charlie.
It just seemed to me that
and that's kind of a young voice.
And, yeah. then he, and now he's like, and no, you kids.
Do you think maybe they're making him be less stupid to be a better role model? Because you that's know what sort this of a is? Dim-witted voice, right?
No one except for me, no one except my dumbass is going to obsess on the voice of Barney. And I know that they switched him. I know that somewhere it's like Lassie. They killed the other Lassie, and they brought the new Lassie in, and that's exactly what it is. I just know that that's.
Does he look at any other cartoons?
He looks at
because I know exactly what Julia was fixated on at his age. Dora the Explorer.
There is a baby Geico? Development channel that was what did Pony say?
There's a Geico commercial with Dora that cracks me up. I'll admit it.
Yeah, he's
that's
great.
A little
have
creepy.
You seen it? Yeah. You've not seen that commercial.
I did find some information on Barney here. This is on Snopes.com.
Okay, so this is
Snopes.
Like it's yeah. saying this will say whether or not this is true or
yeah,
false.
The claim was, and I remember hearing this as a kid, that the children's TV host Barney, the purple dinosaur, was caught with cocaine hidden in his tail and cussed out a child.
Is this some guy playing Barney at a mall or something?
The main guy who did it, but that was alleged for years. I remember hearing that he
had cocaine in his tail.
He would hide like a key of cocaine in his tail.
The key.
Because he had to record so many shows that's how he would actually get through the tapings.
Oh, that's nonsense. That can't be true.
It's not true, but I remember as a kid, I'd hear that as a rumor. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, do you have a mirror I could borrow?
Oscar, would I be accurate? Would I be accurate in saying they do not, they're not really forthcoming with,
no.
It's hard to even find who the guy is that does
Well, we
this.
Didn't really know who the voice of Elmo was until all those allegations came out.
That's, oh, you know what, the
Muppets.
He likes
Sesame Street, Rob.
Oh, he does like Sesame Street.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, how about, is he into Elmo? Does he have a favorite Muppet?
He watched the whole Elmo set. You gotta realize, the first go around, my first parenting.
One, I know.
I really didn't do this
two,
stuff.
Two. Three.
He's doing the count.
Four. That's how I learned how to count.
Cool. I thought there was something wrong with the signal there. There's that electronic again.
I hear that noise.
Yelled at for doing that.
When Julia, and he is 22 months old now, 22, 23. How old is he
hold
now?
Hold on. Yes.
Big win.
Created by Cheryl Leach, starring David Joyner. Is that the voice of Barney?
That's
from
that's
1991
what I know.
To 2001.
Oh,
Carrie Stinson from. All right, so put in.
Carrie,
so different Barneys.
Stinson.
I'm not sure. Put in David.
Oh my God,
Joyner.
It's like Doctor Who.
David who?
David Joyner.
Who's
David
your favorite Barney?
David Joyner. Hold on,
It's starring David Joyner, 1991 to 2001. Then it's Carrie Stinson. So did they stop making them after?
They took a hiatus.
Oh, I'm sure they possibly did. You know what really flipped me out is when
I got all the.
I didn't like when they changed the Steve on Blue's Clues, and I think the new Steve sucks.
Hold on, they've got something for the suit. 1997.
The guy
Barney
who was
suit.
In the suit.
Yeah.
There was a
yeah.
guy who voiced and the guy who was in the
oh,
suit.
Oh, so it's
There's
different.
A guy, David Joyner. Yeah. Is there any information for David Joyner?
There is. He's a black man. I've got that much.
Okay.
And is he the voice of Barney?
Yes, he is the American actor from Chicago, and he played Barney from 1992 to late 2001.
Hey, kids, then, do you like the White Sox?
It doesn't tell me who played
Bob West.
Afterwards.
Try Bob West.
Bob West.
Hi, I'm Bob West.
That says 2001, too. I got to see who starts in 2001.
Hi, is this the program director? This is Bob West. I played Barney for
this is
years.
A conspiracy. They have switched out Barney, and you're not here. Okay, Dean Wendt.
Dean Wendt.
But where
from
did
2000,
he go?
From 2002 to 2009, the Barney voice.
Now, that's is he related says. To George Wendt?
George Wendt. I don't know why I always say it like that. From Cheers. Dean Wendt. So they did. They switched out the Barney voice, and the guy that's
Barney.
Yes,
Barney
it.
Now sucks ass.
It is Dean Wendt. It confirms here.
I guess they stopped production in 2009. Would that be accurate?
Yes, you know what? Yeah. And that makes sense because Barney is evergreen.
Dean Wendt is the voice. David Joyner was in the suit.
Oh.
Don't you think that the guy in the suit should have to do the voice, too?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not getting a real performance.
Yeah, but
well,
Dean Wendt's bio only
either.
Starts. And by the way, this is the type of hard-hitting, wonderful radio you've come to expect.
Of course.
From
well, we
Why
had
not?
To do it today because this is going to be the second story on 60 Minutes this Sunday.
Dean Wendt is only credited from 2002 to 2009. So was David Joyner in the suit? Because it also says
Apparently.
David Joyner was 1991 to 2001. So was he the voice or in the... No, David Joyner was the voice from 1991 to 2001. And then this horrible impersonator, Dean Wendt, took over in 2002.
You know what this is going to turn into, Oscar? We're going to have to do another video with Mike.
Where
he's doing Barney. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you also do Bob the Builder or any of the Rub-A-Dubbers?
Now, see, you want to talk about the engaged father? Listen to Rob rattling all these
off. I wish you were my father sometimes, not with all the rage or the alcoholism, but if you could do the voice,
yeah.
The voices of my favorite characters as a kid, that
would
have rolled.
What do you mean? What do you mean the rage and the alcoholism? What are you talking about? I'm a smiling Irish bastard.
I could do without the rage and the alcoholism, but the voices as a kid, what a wonder, right?
Oh, yeah.
That would be?
Yeah, absolutely.
My kids love them. My kids love them. And,
did they ever have any favorites?
My daughter Elizabeth has a favorite. I'm not sure if it's politically correct.
Just say it.
She says, do the gay voice.
Oh, well, that's okay. Not a character, though.
And I do a variety of them. Because,
sure.
I'm 5% gay.
Is it Liberace?
No, but I can do that. I'm really excited to have Austin
Lee.
Come
that
over.
Sounds, that sounds like Liberace,
He's going to hype
perfect.
And he's going to hop in my,
okay, what about
my
this?
Keyboard shape.
Did she have a character as a kid that you could do? Like one of these famous characters?
Yeah, I did them all. I did Barney for my kids.
You
did
really?
Barney for my kids. But she liked me to go, hello, Elizabeth. Did you have a nice day at school? And she'd like show her teeth
that's
laughing.
Fun. That's
she
like Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's
fun.
And here's the other parents were probably really thrilled because whenever she'd have a friend over, I'd always have, it's like, Dad, do the gay voice for Stephanie. Hi, hello. Hello, Stephanie. It's nice to see you.
Why she never kept any friends?
Yeah, that's they were never hanging around.
I stole an impression from you that the kids used to like when they spoke to me, which was Ray Romano, because he did the voice of the woolly mammoth in Ice Age.
Oh yeah,
he was Manny.
Hey, like, hey!
But doesn't it just sound like Ray Romano?
Yeah, but they didn't see it as Ray Romano.
Oh.
They saw it as Manny the.
Wish I could do voices. All I have is that damn gingerbread.
Oh, look who's here.
What character in Ice Age did Robert play?
Yeah, he didn't have a character, Robert.
Oh, okay. I left the applicator to
him. Well, so you had Barney and who else? I really would love to...
I don't know. I don't remember the kids saying... I was not the engaged father I am today. Mm. I have to say that. My kids still love me. I'm very blessed that is the case, but I did not hang around enough to know. I was doing a morning show for a lot of it. I was doing an afternoon show and doing the rest, and I was on the road, and of course, there were many late nights.
I'm trying to think what... Well, let's try and fill in the blanks, Oscar. We know Mike's resume fairly well. What would be a voice he would do that the kids would like? I think that they would probably like Arnold.
Yeah, Arnold was
great, because,
I'm sure.
Arnold made some movies.
I don't
good.
Have a tumor. You've got to go to bed right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to lock your door and put a giant padlock on it, and you won't be able to escape, and you will never go to school or see any of your friends or swim in a pool again.
See? I think they'd like that
see,
a lot.
That was fun.
Like, no, they'd still go, we don't want to go to bed, Dad. We don't want to do that. But anyway, I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of this, and of course, we'll be deluged with people giving us the skinny.
Send
on
us
this.
Your skinny. We'd like to
anyway,
hear.
Right now, because I like to make snap judgments, I will tell you that I do believe Dean Wendt from 2000
Dean
to 2009. He is the guy that I don't think I like. It just sounds different than the original Barney that I remember. And, Barney always kind of a creepy one. And to answer your question, the next go-to is Sesame Street, and then there are some very weird Tinky Winky-like characters on the Baby Development Channel.
Yes.
What was the name of the Teletubbies?
The Teletubbies,
Teletubbies were big when my daughters were small. This Baby Development Channel has little rats or mice, three of them that are actually on.
Are they blind?
They have the same. No, they...
Because there's
three
a
blind
song,
mice. I
song
this
about
is
them.
Friday Rob. This is Friday Rob. Even though we take two on Thursday, it's Friday Rob. I love we're getting Friday Rob. I can tell. It's just like,
I'm in the
three blind mice joke.
I'm in the moment, Mike. I'm totally
Mike,
in the moment.
Speaking
I'm
of
so
voices, we're talking about this. And I know I mentioned David Spade in the bonus show, but I want to.
This has been the biggest week for David Spade on this show.
Oscar likes Joe Dirt.
I love it.
He
Joe
does.
Dirt chews out. Crackle, check it out. So it's free. Listen, he told a story where he said that when he tried out for SNL, it was David Spade, Rob Schneider, and
was Sandler there?
No. This is early. Sandler was already on it,
okay,
if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
And the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, let me find that guy's
Tom
name.
Tom Kenny.
Mm-hmm. They all tried out the same night for Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels said no to Tom Kenny because he killed, and Spade and Rob Schneider didn't kill. They kind of flopped.
Right.
But who did we talk about yesterday? Miller. Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Told them not to kill because Lorne doesn't like it when you kill. But the guy...
SpongeBob, Tom Kenny.
Hold on a second. Let's stop this for a second and talk about process. Lorne doesn't like when you kill.
He is a complicated individual.
Maybe we're
Lorne
getting
Michaels.
Our answer. Maybe it'd be better if he hired some cast people who did kill.
What I'm thinking, if Lorne Michaels doesn't like to see a comedian do well, he thought this last season was fantastic.
I agree.
I can give you more context after the break.
Yeah, let's do that. I like that.
All right, and when we come back also, I want to play you a clip, speaking of Saturday Night Live. Seth Meyers with his late show right now. I'm not sure how it's doing in the ratings, but Seth Meyers has Jerry Seinfeld as a guest. And for years and years, we have talked about, A, how funny Jerry is. Seinfeld, one of the greatest comedies ever made. But at the same time, we've always been pretty consistent saying Jerry's a total a-hole.
Yes.
I mean, a really giant a-hole. I've got a clip from the Seth Meyers show. We'll play that when we come back, and we'll break it down, because this is Jerry being his a-holiness.
Hey, what is it about Jerry people? It's fun to dissect people named Jerry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know,
Mom. Lady.
We will take a break, come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Donald Trump, what is your plan to defeat ISIS?
Enlist the help of all of the celebrities that have participated in my programs. When Mary Lou Henner, Lennox Lewis, Pierce Morgan, and Omarosa arrive in Iraq, this army will be ready to fight. Everybody that participates in this plan will get a military uniform, a real one.
A real one.
With boots, helmets, night vision goggles. And when I mention the night vision goggles, Sig Hansen from Deadliest Catch, he said, get me there as soon as possible. It's going to be fantastic. And Paul Tuttle Sr., he did the same exact thing.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com. Bonus.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Mangrates. Hey, everybody. Father's Day is June 1st. 21st, I'm sorry. And guess what? You haven't done anything for your dad, have you, slacker? You need to treat your pop like the king he is, and there is no better gift than the Mangrate. If your father loves the finer things, there's a great gift for you. The Mangrate is 100% cast iron. They're grilling grates that'll make your grill into a steakhouse extraordinaire, everybody.
Yep.
Remember how Dad always told you to watch your money? Here's a deal for Mangrate, too. 40% off all cast iron grates and premium brushes at Mangrate.com. When you use our code TMOS, he'll be so proud of you.
Proud.
Plus, if you spend $50 or more this Father's Day with Mangrate, Dad will receive a United States of Bacon t-shirt.
Mm.
Who doesn't want that,
people?
As always, each Mangrate is 8 pounds of raw cast iron. Anyone will tell you cast iron is the way to cook like a pro. 100% American made and designed to fit on top of virtually any grilling surface. Oh, and don't forget the Mangrate brush.
I'm so glad you bring it up, Mike. You know, I love a lot of things, but one of the things I love most, show business.
Yes.
And do you know how they kept Barney's costume looking so great? Is that after every episode, they gave him a good scrubbing with a Mangrate brush.
Thank you, Rob. You'll like it. We love Mangrates, and get yours today. Use the TMOS code. Oscar's been handing these out of the warehouse for years.
Absolutely.
And years. MANGRATE.com, and use our TMOS code. Make it a great Father's Day with Mangrate, and disregard everything you ever hear about Rob Spiewak talking about that brush. Please do.
Thank you.
So I'm juggling a bunch of different stuff here. Let me see if I can
Do you want me to give you a recap real quick about the David Spade?
Yeah, please do. Set it
yeah, please do. Go ahead.
And Rob
Schneider.
So he talked about the process, and this is a story that's been going around, but hearing it from him was really, really great. So Dennis Miller told him before he hit the stage, because, again, it was for the audition in front of Lorne, it was David Spade. We had
Rob Schneider
and Tom Kenny, right?
Kenny, yeah.
And he said, and I quote, you don't want to kill too hard. It throws up a red flag. You don't want to be a polished road act. And then David Spade responded, well, I'm certainly not that, so there's no danger. But he talked about, and he alluded to the fact when he got up there, he didn't necessarily just bomb. He didn't do his best on purpose because Dennis Miller had told him that, right?
Wow.
And then Rob Schneider did the same thing right after him. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Kenny came on and killed, absolutely killed. And the only guys that got picked up were David Spade and Rob Schneider.
Wow. So he doesn't like the guys that do really well.
That are too polished.
It's just that I don't like that.
So you think about careers, and I didn't know that Tom Kenny was the voice of SpongeBob, so he ended up doing pretty good for himself. But
yeah, if you get an animated well feature himself, like yeah. that, you're gonna kill it. I mean, you're gonna do really well.
It's hard.
But we've
to
talked about how much Saturday Night Live sucks for years and years and years, and maybe that's one of the problems. You should hire the guy that kills an audition.
I'm wondering if it has to do with Lorne trying to recapture the roughness of the original cast.
Might be something.
And you know, but I mean, and I know that was now 40 years ago, but it's so counterintuitive. But I would wonder what the thought process is.
He would also, David Spade also said that Lauren would come to him, especially when he was red hot, and say, look, and this is probably true and it's probably good to remember, but he would say, everyone's going to tell you that you are the funniest guy on the show. Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue telling that. And I want to tell you right now, you're not. And he'd walk away.
Wow. Wow.
When he was like red hot, right?
Wow. I bet he says that to everybody, though.
It's like, just don't get happy. Bottom line.
I'm rereading the Shales book, the 40th anniversary version of right. Live from New York. Did mm-hmm. you know that Lauren's office has a balcony that overlooks the studio?
Oh, my God.
How imagine? Much like Mussolini is that?
Well, I just think that when you've got one guy that is all powerful mm-hmm. like that and you're dealing with comedy, I don't know. I've always thought that it's just my opinion that I think comedy by committee is better than comedy by dictatorship. I really do believe yeah. that. I think if you've got, a bunch of other, if you're going in front of, say you're dealing with a radio station program director. Mm-hmm. If you're dealing with three guys, I think, don't you think you're going to have better odds than if you're dealing with just
yes.
one guy
yeah.
that might have not That's... liked the way your jacket was cut? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Do you remember they had the new sketches that they aired during the Saturday Night Live 40th special?
Yes.
And it was funny because when they brought people back like Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, these guys are not beholden to Lorne anymore. Mm. And there were stuff they said that was kind of insightful. Remember when one of them said, as Lorne, yes, it got a laugh, but did it get the right laugh?
Yeah,
and you know,
exactly.
and can you imagine having to deal with that?
Yeah, well, he's all powerful.
He is.
And I am sorry, but I mean, we've said it now. I mean, that show has jumped the shark. Look, more seasons have jumped the shark than haven't. Would you not agree? They can have the circle jerk all they want and mm-hmm. talk about, but they go back to would it be maybe six seasons tops of great, and I'm including the original cast and then all seasons after that. And when I say seasons, I will say casts. Would it
yeah.
be six casts that probably in all those 40 years that have really been
that gelled and
go
to
casts?
Yeah,
right.
I think that's about right.
By and large, a lot of the stuff, and then recently. I don't know what he's been going for. When I saw the guys on Weekend Update, I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me.
Zero chemistry. It doesn't make sense at all.
Tough
to look at.
They're not able to deliver off the prompter. They can't read the cards, and that to me would be a basic. Of course, you look back and you could make the same case for old Norm MacDonald,
who killed.
But I loved Norm MacDonald. I loved his style.
Even when
he
messed up, you're like,
he's the best.
Yes,
he's the best. But you know what? There's an electricity to Norm MacDonald and an unpredictability, and he still has it. If he was doing a talk show as recently as the last week of Letterman, you had no idea what he's going to come out and do. This is a guy who on Saturday Night Live skewered Letterman, destroyed him.
Yeah.
And
then
he comes out and does five killer minutes and then cries because Dave's leaving. And there's no electricity surrounding Saturday Night Live anymore. There's no excitement, it seems.
Unless they get a Louie.
Right.
Then there's really nothing that's going to happen on that show. And that's very, very disappointing to me. And I think really you might have to look at that. Look, he's never going to be scrutinized. He's been responsible for launching so many movie careers.
And he's in charge of some of the gems of that network.
And he's made so much money for NBC.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, so you're not going to see that happen. But when I look at that, I say, maybe that's the reason that show doesn't generate the talent it should.
We can ask, we haven't had this perspective yet because we have Rofo, who's 25 now, right?
Right.
Noelle, you, how, our new intern Noelle is 22? 22. Okay, let's put her on the
mic. By the way, for those of you that may not have met her on a previous show, this is our intern, Noelle.
Yes.
Noelle, you have to go
talk
on camera
right
so people can see you. Just take a bow and then go back to your position on your
microphone. Go in front of...
So everybody, this is our brand new intern,
go
Noelle.
Go pose by Pony.
Yeah, right by Pony. And then we can get
right,
you back on
we
the mic.
Go. We're going to see Noelle.
I quickly wanted to ask, and if you don't mind, I want to get her perspective of... Saturday Night Live in her generation, because at 22...
Hi, Noelle. Wave to the camera. Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
There you are. Wave to Mike.
Here we go.
Creepily.
All right.
Now, Mike, now that you've got your shot, you can actually let her get
what,
back on
now,
the mic.
Now, what do you mean me? I just thought the audience would want to see
no,
Noelle.
No, it was you. We
it was
know
not me.
What's going
it was
on
not
here.
Me. I'm very proud of having a young yes. lady intern, just like I was when we had Katie Cole on our
That's show. Right.
All right,
right.
Noelle, do you or your friends, and you could... You could be honest about this.
Yeah.
At all, like, track or watch Saturday Night Live?
Definitely.
You really? Do?
I love it.
Is it a priority? Wow. Is it a priority show for you?
Not a priority show. Is especially because the newer seasons, I agree, are not the best.
Okay, would you still call it appointment television? Something that you watch, even if you DVR it, then do you, like, always see it even if it's on a Tuesday or Wednesday?
No.
Okay, so it's not a priority.
Just when it's
no,
on.
It's not. It's not. It used to be. Yeah. I mean, we would
watch it live.
We would leave the party to watch Saturday Night, or we would go to a party at somebody's house back in the 1820s when I was watching my
That's right.
early days of television. We would go back.
Mike,
so
we would
new.
Dismiss Parliament and go back to the house.
Well, what you know what's also, we talk, I know we beat a dead horse
I
when
know,
it comes to this.
I know.
But Rob, you know what's sad to me too is the other sketch shows that have come and gone. You know, like Mad TV, I thought was a great show. In Living Color.
It eclipsed it many times.
It was a great show.
What was it like drunk driving a Model T?
I gotta get home and get to my Saturday Night Live. Come on, everybody, let's go.
A
That's
lot of
right.
times he'd sober up trying to put the crank in to start the engine. The cold air would be bracing.
You know, I remember it seriously like it was yesterday. We were sitting around drinking out of the jug, and I didn't have any shoes back in those days.
And weren't you mad most of the time because President Roosevelt wasn't letting you drink?
There I was very, very frustrated. Really, most often, if I wanted to get a really good meal, I'd have to hop over to another town. And, you know, that was hours waiting for the freight train to come through. So I could hop it, you know.
Now, if it was an overnight trip, would you tie your belongings into a handkerchief?
Yeah, I would, as a matter of fact.
You know, a stick.
You know what I remember most vividly? My face was always dirty.
From the soot?
Yes.
It was soot. I looked like kind of a chimney sweep. With a ruddy complexion. And anyway, I'd eat by campfire.
Oh, he hated Herbert Hoover.
What about the rations? How did you deal with the rations?
Ah, the rations. I remember that. Oscar's somehow bringing it into World War II now.
Yeah. Oscar,
it was
really
great.
Not very linear in his thought process.
You know, I'll tell you what I do remember. This is a nice little song here, but I didn't like the music of the day.
Really?
And yeah, I would spend hours and hours just breaking records. Shattering them. Anyway, that's stupid. I don't know what we're doing here. All right, getting back to the whole Saturday Night Live, I wish for it. What before we let you go, Noelle, I want to ask you this question. To you now, as far as movies, because I want to get a perspective on how in touch Oscar Santana is.
Right.
The funniest movie you've ever seen, because you're young enough where I'm not going to say in the last 5 years or the last 2 years.
Oh, this
in
is great because we don't even know her.
The funniest comedy you've ever seen? Not an easy question all the
Not
time for a young
Not an easy question
person.
At all.
Do you have one that comes to mind? A movie that really made you laugh?
I love Happy Gilmore. That's classic.
Yes.
Happy Gilmore. Okay.
Solid
you,
pull.
You know what? That,
solid pull.
An oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
That's sad to me, too, because it's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but you know what? The Sandler is so strongly diluted by Barker. Barker helps that movie immensely.
The fist fight is what makes Happy Gilmore. See, she's laughing already.
Yeah.
That's what makes it. That's absolutely what makes it.
And also,
it.
Mike, you should like it, I would think, because one of my favorite topics for a comedy is golf. Golf is a great vehicle for funny
absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby knew that, Rob.
Hey, save some for Dad now.
Hey, Noelle, do you know who Bing Crosby is?
I do.
Yes!
Oh, wow. Oh, we got a keeper here.
That's a good
That's
one.
Fantastic.
I like that.
All right, one last question. Noelle, the best movie you've ever seen, in your opinion?
Best
your go-to movie?
That's tough.
That is.
It's tough.
Like a Desert Island
I know
movie.
What my daughter
Just top
would
of
answer.
Mind.
I know what my 20-year-old daughter would answer. I know that.
I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. My daughter would answer, it would be an animated movie.
Mine would not be animated.
Her favorite would, she would probably say Frozen.
Really?
Really? I swear to God. Yes, they made me watch it.
It has been in my DVR for 2 years and I haven't watched it.
I hate it. Not that great.
Never seen it.
Let it go.
I hated it. Noelle, you want to throw a guess out there? Oh, I'm sorry, it's not a guess. I'm just
anything.
Asking you.
What are you keeping you'll watch all the time?
Maybe one movie I will always be able to watch over and over and over. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Oh,
strong
that's
pull.
Pretty neat. You know what? I'm going to give her a round of applause for that.
That's right.
Another one that Mike loves.
Yes. Well, back in the day, I watched it more as it went to cable. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. When we come back, I will have that previously mentioned tape of Jerry Seinfeld. We'll pick it apart right here on the Mike O'Bara Show. Whoa, whoa.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, summer is finally here, and I want you to have the fun that I have, and that is because I sleep on a Sleep Number bed. Why, you say? Well, I wake up feeling great and so well-rested. That is, unless my son gets me up at wee hours in the morning, like 4 a.m. But even then, the sleep that I do get is fantastic sleep before I have to go down to the kitchen table and say, boat, 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 boat. You have to go to a Sleep Number store. It's the only place that you'll find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. My Sleep Number bed lets me choose the comfort and support that is just right for me. Right now, my Sleep Number setting's an 85. Carla's is a 65. The built-in Sleep IQ technology will track your sleep, and it uses the dual air technology in the bed to tell you exactly how to have the best sleep ever. There is nothing to wear, nothing to turn on. All you have to do is sleep. My Sleep Number setting, again, is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Come in right now and discover the Sleep Number bed and Sleep IQ technology and save from $500 to $650 on a Sleep Number P6 mattress set. You can know better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to dock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Twice on the pipe.
No, I'm sorry. Tell them that Mike O'Mara sent
you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do that for me, will you please? All right, let me get right to it.
Please.
I want you boys to judge this for me, and I want you to tell me what you think of this audio from Jerry Seinfeld. This is Jerry sitting down with Seth Meyers, and very, very shortly they get started, and they start talking about the process and the pre-interview, and it's okay. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
And then Jerry goes into the whole deal with Jerry being Jerry. So
this is it. Sound good.
It sounds great, and this is very exciting. It's your first time on the show.
This is my very first time on this show. And, well, we'll see what it is.
Okay.
Okay, now right there, funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's okay.
He's playing he's playing the Jerry character, it seems.
He's playing the Jerry, and
Mike,
let's see what happens.
Can you give us a little more volume on the audio? Just
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Appreciate
that'd
be great. Thank you.
Because, you know, Dave's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Jay's gone.
Gone, yeah.
Johnny's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm auditioning other shows.
Oh,
I need another show. Yeah,
this is big for us.
Second part, funny.
Yeah,
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
It's kind
good.
Of my
it's a solid little
like
prepared bit. Right.
Yeah. For a show.
This is a big opportunity.
Yeah, I want to have a show that I feel comfortable going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do well, really well.
Sure.
Yeah, I expect.
It's real make or break for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so right there I'm laughing because I'm on Jerry's side. He wants
right.
to do well. He's
yeah.
saying he wants to do well on this
he's
show.
He's humanizing
maybe
himself.
He's humanizing, yeah. and it's cool.
You?
Yeah.
But now this is interesting because you want to do well. You did not want to do a pre-interview today.
No.
Yeah.
So.
We should explain. Yeah.
Do you know what a pre-interview is? On a talk show? Here's how a talk show works.
Okay, right there.
Oh, he's
the beginning
already
of Jerry
down
being
to them.
Talking down.
Douche.
Do you lesser people know what a pre-interview is?
Do you know how to adjust the volume on your television?
You know, you're idiots, so you might not know this. He
Douche.
Starts. He starts right
there. It looks like he and I are chatting, right? Oh, I see you went on vacation. I heard you went on vacation. Well, where did he hear that? His producer told him. Jerry has a joke about his vacation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's all totally phony. And then I do my vacation bit.
Yeah.
About the plumbing in Cabo San Lucas. And it was
I say,
a nightmare.
What? Oh, that sounds terrible. God, yeah. What?
Luckily, the nachos. And, you know, good.
Even at this stage, Seth Meyers is laughing, and he asked the pre-interview. He set up the pre-interview riff, so I'm okay. Yeah. I saw another clip where they started right at the pre-interview.
But
where Jerry, and it made Jerry look more of an a-hole than he is. He doesn't need to be look more like an a-hole because he already is when you hear the rest of this.
And also, you know, a little bit is that this is already diminishing not just Seth, but Seth's show.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm okay with that, Rob, because Seth brought up the pre-interview. Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
And so he set it up. But listen, and Jerry would be okay in my book, but he goes on.
If he bailed now.
And that's great, and that's fine when you're a new young comic or you're an actor or actress with nothing.
Right. For some people...
Okay, so in other words, other people have... He's superior. This is Jerry doing the superior. Let's listen.
Yeah.
For some people, the pre-interview is a very important piece of infrastructure.
You got to have it.
Yeah.
But I've done a few things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
he's starting
boy.
To go into
Dick.
The... Now, this is fresh on the heels of... Jerry won't play college campuses because you have to be too politically correct.
Right.
And by the way, I normally don't toot my own horn, but my Seinfeld impression, as we both age,
yes.
will get better and better.
Yes.
Because he's getting more like an old man.
Yeah. And I like when you go to the higher register, Mike.
And I feel like you want this job, right? You want to be
I want to be your talk show guy. I'd love you to come here.
The
yeah.
desk. So I think you should.
The desk.
So now he is diminishing Seth.
Now he's directly diminishing the host of the show. And I would have, you know, this is when you miss a guy like Letterman. Letterman, in his youngest days, would not have taken this crap. But let's listen.
Do the work.
Yeah.
Right, I gotta retread that a little
and
bit.
And you know what? Not only would Letterman really says, take care of it, Letterman, it wouldn't have happened.
Let's analyze it afterwards, Rob. Right. Let's do it afterwards. Hold on. I want to go back and listen to this. So
the desk. So I think you should do the work.
Yeah.
So he gets a cheer from the audience for just completely calling out Seth Meyers for doing what talk shows have done
forever.
From the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And I'm
Being
already
prepared.
Getting pissed.
Because
gets worse.
Here, let's just be completely candid. I did not call you to say I'd love to be on your show.
Yeah, that.
Can you believe this?
Wow.
Can you believe
Can
this
you let
guy?
It play? I want to hear like the whole context. Like, I want to hear.
All right,
goes.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm going to take it. I'll take it from when he says do the work.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on a second. All right, here.
Work.
Yeah.
Because here, let's just be completely candid. I did not call you to say I'd love to be on your show.
Yeah, that
I did not.
That is, it's true.
Is that
that's
true?
That's not how it went down.
His people call. We would love. When could Jerry do it? And he did Comedians in Cars, so that was like you owe me a little, which I don't.
Yeah.
I owe nothing to anyone. So you got to come on my show. I haven't got time for this. I don't really need it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But they keep calling. It's people calling. I'm not making this up. They keep calling. Can you come on? So eventually I say, okay, fine. I will go on. So then what do you think his producer says? He says, well, what do you want to do? I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be on these shows.
I think that's good. I will say, had you gotten past the hello part of the conversation with my producer, you would find that we do things a little bit different here. But, you know, this is fine. I'm happy.
You do. First of all, you don't even have a card here.
I don't have a single card.
That's
here.
So cool. Does anybody give you credit for that?
I don't get enough credit for that.
All right, so he pivots, but up until that point,
he was a dick.
The man is
a complete dick,
and he doesn't. A talk show doesn't exist except for to promote what the guests are doing. And even when he said nothing was being promoted, he mentioned his web series by name.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
And it's just Jerry gets the call. Jerry gets the call. I don't even want to be here. Well, you are there, you dick.
And
you
don't
need to do that.
You is just rude.
That's horrible.
I don't know. I don't owe anyone.
Yeah.
That is his mindset.
That should be on his tombstone.
You know, I think it was Paul Newman that talked about luck.
Yep.
And
I think you're right.
About how anyone that achieves this kind of stardom, the role that luck has, the guys that are complete dicks are the guys that never put that in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, we are on the circus clown level of celebrity in our careers. I still consider myself incredibly lucky, and I'm humbled when I go to Reno and I have people line up with you guys for 2.5 hours. It is a thrill. It is fantastic. Yep. I never feel like it should be diminished. Now, when we take phone calls, everybody's fair game, and we put people down, and we just sort of people say, you're being a hypocrite. No, this type of attitude has always... We have called Seinfeld out on this forever. What is the tape that you had? Does it match with this at
this
all?
This is pretty good. This is when... You know, if you want to compare yourself, and I just want to, before we move to this tape, I have to say, when he says he doesn't owe anyone, how many times have you read that the show Seinfeld was a success in spite of Jerry Seinfeld? Yeah. His acting was atrocious, and the writing was all Larry David at the front. He was very, very lucky. In here, he talks about the ending of Seinfeld and whether or not it was too soon, and he draws an analogy. And I think the thing that he compares himself to might elevate him maybe a little higher in showbiz than he might actually
let's
be.
Let's listen to more ego you can photograph from
this
the
This is a Jerry.
Because the Beatles ended too soon for me.
Uh-huh.
And it was also 9 years. And it was something about the single digit, 10 years. So people say, how many years did you do that show? 10 years. Oh, geez.
Right.
That was a long time.
Right.
Now, how many years did you do that show? 9 years.
Wow.
It seemed a lot less.
It really does.
You know?
Yeah, it really
and
does.
When the Beatles did 9 years, and that hunger for the Beatles that has lasted my whole life.
Right.
Whenever a Beatles song comes on the radio, I reach for the volume and turn it up because I still haven't gotten enough of them.
Wow.
That was really how I made the decision.
Wow.
Beatles, 9 years.
This tells you how long this guy thinks about
being...
He's just
being
talk about taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
My only thought when I got done watching the thing with Seth Meyers, and I measured that against other quotes like the audience is a child.
Yeah,
and
the audience
have to
is
tell
like
them
a
what
child.
They need.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about Jerry and all these quotes, and I said, if he's like this with public commentary.
Yeah, this is the stuff that his handlers are letting him do.
What is the megalomania that goes on in his private life?
Yeah. Exactly. Right? And I'm talking maybe even with his own family. I wonder.
Shoshana.
I wonder about that. Yeah. Shoshana. Is that her name? Shoshana. You parked your car in back of my Porsche. I've got an appointment in the city. I'm having lunch with Larry David. What are you doing? What are you doing to me? You know? I mean, look, all comedians, we know this. We've talked about it before. Comedians and even people that do this for a living, we are by nature rather prickly individuals. But a lot of the prickliness is countered by the humility. I think Louis C.K. is a great example of that, where he's... can be a total dick, but he's endearing because he's so honest about it. And then he talks about how lucky he is for a guy that looks like he does. And I love that. Jerry Seinfeld, who was, I think Rob described him as kind of a vanilla comedian at the same time.
Oh, his material is extraordinarily vanilla.
Yeah.
Timing, luck. I mean, it's solid stuff, but it's nothing that wouldn't have played 30
and
years previous.
The rub is that you want the guy that you watched all those years, and you're such a fan. I'm still a fan of his show. You want that guy.
The show is so fantastic.
You want that guy.
And that's a testament to the show. Yeah. It's so good.
But I watched last night the Chinese food restaurant episode.
Yeah.
And we're stepping all over you, Oscar.
Sorry,
let's let
it's okay.
Oscar talk.
It's fine. No worries. So what my point is this. Is when you see Julia Louis-Dreyfus, when you see her in Seinfeld, and then you see her on Veep, and then you see her on talk shows, that's the person you wanted that character to be in real life, right? Where you just see humble, fun, candid. When you see Jerry on the show, you're like, oh, that's Jerry Seinfeld on Seinfeld. It's fun. But then when you see him in private life, you're like, oh, like, why can't you just be a little more humble?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, and I'm curious.
It's a hard to disassociate.
Oops. I'm sorry. I'm curious how the. I'm almost hesitant to play the end of it because I wonder whether he comes out.
Well, his inner governor probably caught himself being like, you're being a douche.
The inner government should have kicked in a lot quicker than that.
We got like 30 seconds left. Let's see if he saves it in any way.
Do you have a prediction? Have you listened to it all the way through?
I have not listened to it. I stopped it right after he says, you don't work
You're
hard.
Getting a fresh take.
I'll predict that he doesn't do anything to make himself look any better.
Let's see what happens.
That's something. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I should say, certainly it's easier with someone like you.
Well, that's the point.
Right, yeah.
Why should I have to do a pre-interview?
Right.
You
right.
want me here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be here. So you engage me.
Man, oh man, that was it.
Wow.
That was it.
Man.
So you engage me. That was the clip you want me here. I don't want to be here. You know, there's another little word that comes into this, professionalism.
What's
that?
Yep.
There is a professional courtesy that is goes without saying. Like, you can have spontaneity on talk shows, but ultimately, don't you believe that there is a professional demeanor that one should have when you're on network television? And
sure.
He pooped all over it. It just really disturbed me. It really, really
it should.
Me.
It should, yeah. Because, you know, Seinfeld, when you get down to it, it was a comedy, situation comedy, a fictional show. And it celebrated, in many ways, character flaws that people had.
Yes.
And that was one of the reasons, I think, why people hated the finale.
Oh, it was horrible. But you got to respect your peers in the business. If this guy's still working hard and if his dream was to be a late night talk show host, respect that.
Right.
And if you're going to come on, like, play the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, play it a little bit. I mean, play it even at the basis level.
Yes.
Rob was right. He didn't say anything that endeared
me to
the guy.
No, right.
Not a word.
I mean, that's the way it had it.
He's become the worst aspects of his television show, Jerry. He's become it.
Yeah,
and it also makes me wonder about the comments early in the week that we discussed on the show about not doing college campuses. I think there's maybe a curmudgeon-y factor that's getting in there, but it's also being there's an expression called reading your own press.
Yep,
reading your own clippings and reading your own accolades, and you just don't. I'm sure there are people. I don't know. Do you think we're hypersensitive to it because we're on some ridiculously low level in show business?
If we have any sensitivity to it, is I think it's because we're all invested in Jerry's career.
You want it to be, you want him to be just a humble guy that's helping people out. And for example, if Jason Alexander was really like Costanza, because that's what you would root for.
Sure,
I'd love that. Right.
Right.
You would love that. Mm.
Doesn't Jason Alexander have a tiny little bit of that too?
Absolutely.
Where he's got a little of the dickishness in him as well.
I've heard him in interviews. I'm like, well, this is not the guy I thought you'd be.
But don't you think also some of that comes with the fact that, you know, with reading your own clippings also comes with bags and bags of money.
True.
And they don't have to. He must think that he's above playing the game.
That's why I'm going to be sending Jerry a bottle of Smiling Seinfeld Bastard. Smiling Seinfeld Bastard. You have a picture of Jerry on the cover, and it's just like, this is the greatest IPA that I've ever swizzled. This is fantastic. It's got a hoppiness. A hoppiness that I really enjoy. It's really delicious. I don't want to be here because I'm Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, F you, Jerry.
I owe nobody anything. I don't know anybody.
I love them. Impression though. Keep doing it, please.
All right. You know what we didn't get to on today's show at all? We did not get to our bucket list. We have to at least get number five on
bucket
list from everybody.
Okay,
all right.
Cool.
Everybody, one item. I have 10. I actually came up with 10.
As do I.
How much time do we have?
We have.
In this segment?
We have 3 minutes.
Okay. Just a quick one then.
All right.
Right? I'll go first if you don't mind.
Now, do you want us to read the fifth one on our list to be random? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. The fifth one on my list, if I'm going in order here, is a threesome.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, very good. Yeah. That's pretty good for number five. Rob Spiewak, what about you?
A threesome with Oscar.
Now, I'm on top.
My number five, always. My number five is to attend the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's
pretty good.
Next
year. I'm not a tremendous sports fan, but that is an event
I've watched it my entire
life, and I think it would be really exciting to be a part of
and
it.
And you're a Kentucky Colonel.
Well,
I am.
Yeah, way to do it the year after you get the Triple Crown winner. Yeah. Good timing is everything.
just missed it by that much.
That much. Mine is, I'm going to give you number 10. It's to meet Barack Obama.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
You have time.
To meet Barack Obama, either in office or out, I'd like to, someday shake his hand. That would be very cool.
I think you can probably do that.
I think it's very possible.
How would I do that?
You make a phone call.
You can't even book guests on the show. How am I supposed to meet
Barack Obama? Well, Mike, you'd have to be here first, so that's one.
Yeah, I'd have to be in Washington, D.C.
I don't know. I think he's in Maine, isn't he? Isn't Barack Obama?
Oh, he does vacation in Maine, right?
Doesn't he go up there? Is it still
a vacation? Does he really? No, he goes to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh no! I think that's. I think he does go. Let me look real quick.
He goes to Martha's Vineyard. I'm pretty sure.
But Mike, but when he's in Martha's Vineyard, a lot of times he heads over to Bangor to buy fireworks.
Pony, what's number five on your list?
Travel to Australia.
Australia.
I've always wanted to check it out.
Let me know if you want to do that. I can help you buy a plane ticket.
Down under.
Well, you know, that's to me, that just sounds like another asking for a raise moment. That's what that was. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's Oscarazzi with the entertainment news of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Ben Stein's father.
And on tomorrow's episode of the show, I'm going to reveal a big secret.
I don't think it's a secret.
No. It's not what you're thinking. It's really a big secret. And Kathy Pfeiffer, she sent in her list of worst pop songs ever. We're going to discuss and play those songs.
Can't wait.
Tomorrow on The Tony Perkins Show. Subscribe on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Now, I was wondering why Cappy hasn't been in contact with me on a regular basis.
Oh, weird.
Oh, that's what it is.
Works both the rows, Mike.
Works both ways, Mike.
I think so, yeah. Well, no, I call Cappy. What do you mean works both ways? Yeah, you're in contact with her. Likes Rob, likes Oscar, likes everybody that's ever been on the show. Doesn't even, you know. No. I posted on her wall for the Triple Crown.
That's awesome.
That's very good.
Pen pals.
Sometimes she reaches out more. Very good. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Touch of Modern. I'm just a jealous sort. I always have been, always will be.
It doesn't
show. You know that guy? I'm jealous of everybody, and especially the guys that have all the cool stuff. And you know the guys that have all the cool stuff? They consistently find unique, eye-catching items. You see them in their house, what they're wearing, their watches. You know what they do? They go to touchofmodern.com. Mm-hmm. touchofmodern.com. Go there right now. Millions of people have already made it their source for daily discovery of fascinating one-of-a-kind products at prices you will not believe. You can surf this site for hours. We all love it. It's always cool, always changing. Touch of Modern scours the globe for unique design-focused products to forge your style. They have jaw-dropping tech gadgets, sleek phone cases, accessories, new and vintage watches, sexy home decor, plus men's fashion and accessories that are sure to get you noticed. Touch of Modern has new sales launching every day. It's the one website that elevates your lifestyle with a single click. Be James Bond cool, David Beckham cool, the kind of cool that says you've made it. Here's the thing I want you to do. Go to touchofmodern.com. Our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at Touch of Modern. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane. Touchofmodern.com. Now, I guess the whole thing with Cappy, I got to call her back because I invited her up to Maine. And, you know, and I guess when I invite people up to Maine and they don't follow up, I feel like, just being left out there. I invited Oscar to Maine. Invited Rob to Maine. Everybody goes, we'll get back to you. You're not coming to Maine, right?
No, Oscar.
I can't make it.
This is how I found out. This is after a formal invitation was given. I got the hint. Thanks a lot. Let's get Oscar Rotzi on right now. That's another show. That's a whole segment, you bastard.
All
right.
Thank you very much, fellas.
Oscar. I love my new music, by the way.
New music,
thank you
Mike.
Very much. Quick heads up. President Obama did vacation in Bar Harbor, Maine in 2010, and apparently they head to Maine on a regular basis.
Wow. Well, then I'll have to look him up when he's up here.
Yeah, look at that.
Well, someone's at the door. He looks a tad overweight. There he is. Right now.
Okay, guys, from the Northeast to the West Coast, Hollywood. Mama June is talking about her family. She says that she does not is it Chickadee or Chickaboo? Do you know it?
Sugar Bear?
Not Sugar Bear. One of her daughters is suing her from the TLC program.
Oh, no.
Saying that she owes her money from the dollars that came into TLC.
I'm going to guess it's Chickapoo.
Chickapoo.
Chickapoo. Chickapoo poo poo.
And Mama June is saying that Chickapoo. I think it's Chickadee. They have it. It's Chickadee. They have a direct deposit contract with TLC where all the money goes into each individual's contract.
Direct deposit, Mike, like an allowance.
Like they didn't manage their finances well, so it went into their account so they wouldn't screw it up.
Mama June set up her contract with PayPal.
There you go. Otherwise, she'd get a check and go, chocolate pie!
My what?
Chocolate pie.
Mama June also claims that she gave Anna, a.k.a. Chickadee, $15,400 last December when TLC canceled the show.
We got S-Can, Chickadee. Hear your check.
There's probably some sort of severance.
$15,000, you can finally get them tires you need.
Hey, Chickadee, you want this check or you want me to just get you a big truckload of poppycock?
I've
forget. Do you like cheese curls or cheese balls? We'll stock up.
Just remember, Chickadee, when you get to the grocery store, you stay in the middle now. Stay in the middle. Stay right in the middle of that grocery store. You got all the good stuff there. Yeah.
Also, Mama June also says that she helped Anna by paying her cell phone bill and other household expenses, so the lawsuit is frivolous.
That girl loves text.
Yeah, I would have snacks delivered to her house every day. Subtitle.
Oh, I forgot that they have to subtitle when they talk.
Yeah, they have to subtitle them. Yes, sorry, Mama. Mama June.
What language
Mama
are they June. Speaking? They're speaking English.
That's right. I did that because I don't know that litigious.
I like to die.
Thank you. Gentlemen, some sad news just broke. Sir Christopher Lee, Lord of the Rings star, died at age 93.
He was also a great Dracula.
Oh, in the old Hammer films, yeah.
Yeah, a very, very good Dracula. And then he lasted a good long time. That's too bad. Safe travels to him.
Old man Count Dooku in the last three Star Wars movies. Yeah.
There you go. So again, safe home. Ryan Seacrest is
still
in the
alive.
News as well. And again, you think that his star would have been tarnished by now with American Idol coming up on its final season?
Maybe.
But he has so much stock in the shows that are on E that he will always be relevant outside of American Idol.
He really took the Dick Clark playbook and reinvented it. He's brilliant. He's a very smart guy.
Apparently, he's got a brand new girlfriend. And Mike, if you get a chance, we've seen Ryan with lookers in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how TMZ puts it, is they say that he's broken the mold. Because this time he's banging his former Miss Teen USA assistant Hilary Cruz.
Oh
wow.
My!
So Hilary not just Cruz. A former Miss Teen USA, his former assistant.
That's what they're alleged that they worked together. But Ryan's saying that's not the truth.
Okay.
But I'll say this.
Oh hello.
That I've seen a lot of his girlfriends. We all have.
Yeah.
This might take the cake. This girl may take the cake.
There is nothing wrong with her at all.
Right?
She seems lovely.
Nice.
She was a Miss Teen USA a long time ago, right?
Not that long ago.
I mean, but long enough ago where I'm not being like a perv by looking at her right now.
She's 26.
Oh, she can buy
beer. She's 26.
They have a 14-year difference as far as
you know what it is? I got it for you. Tell me if you think it's wrong. Jessica Alba meets Sofia Vergara.
Nice.
That
pull.
Is the combination
look
right there.
Look at that. And good I'll show it to Rob.
Absolutely. Rob, was that accurate?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
show you the picture.
Strong?
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Yeah, she's beautiful, lovely. Right? Might want to get a picture up online of that, Horny Bob's Beware.
Guys, what are your thoughts on Carrie Underwood?
Talented. Very talented.
Talented, but as vanilla as it gets. And when she did The Sound of Music, it was the same way. She doesn't seem to have a lot of genuine. She's almost robotic in the way she goes about things.
What I like about Carrie Underwood, one, is that she spun out of American Idol.
Right.
And she's one of these artists out there that really didn't make her name out of some sort of scandals. She made her name on talent, right?
Probably the biggest star to come out of Idol, right?
Yeah, and she just swept the Country Music Awards, the CMT Music Awards. And I got to tell you that, and I pulled the story because her music for me, like it really, you can hear it on pop stations, you can hear it on country stations.
Right.
But the fact that she's doing it on her own without actually causing any drama or being Miley Cyrus, I really respect that. I think it's
I respect it
right?
too. Yeah. And I'm not going to slam her because she's so vanilla, because she has had a great career.
And she has
great success.
You know, so you know what? I will pull back on my desire to see a story on TMZ about her doing lines of coke off of Kenny Chesney's ass.
What you could do, right? Mike, if you want to just transfer that, I'd like to see that from Kelly Pickler.
Kelly Pickler. She can pick up the slack.
Yeah, I'd like
Rob.
That. Absolutely. I think that'd be nice.
And speaking of music, guys, I want to wrap this up, and we can talk about it a little more next week.
Yeah.
But Apple had its worldwide developer conference this past Monday, and Apple Music will be coming to our phones and everybody's Apple devices on June 30th. And if you don't know what Apple Music is, it's basically Spotify from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cost $9.99 a month. If you want to be a part of it. But the coolest part about this is that Apple now will allow you to use Siri to search your songs in a manner that we've never been able to in the past. So you could say, Siri, what was the top hit in 1984? And Siri will play it for you.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty good. I like that a lot.
Oh, man.
So
that's
like that
awesome.
A lot.
For
that
you
so
files
cool.
out there, it'll be a lot of fun to use Siri once Apple Music hits the stores.
Wow,
that's
that
very
is
cool.
Very
I like that. I'm
cool.
actually excited about that. That might be something coming out of the Apple Labs that's very, very cool. As we go to the break, right now. Thanks, Oscarazzi. We appreciate that. That's good stuff. I like this little Daft Punk to get your weekend started. How's everybody doing? This is the Mike O'Meara Show. 8 minutes after the big hour of 9 a.m.
The Legend of the Phoenix.
Oh, I walked it. I stepped on it. I'm sorry.
You almost had it.
Very close.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
Nah, I'm just bummed about nobody come up and see me in the name. Anyway, we'll take a break. We will come back with the audio vault. Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Rob and Katie.
I even put the conditioner part on for 2 minutes, washed it right out.
Did it smell?
Oh, yeah. My hair still kind of stinks.
That's like the worst smell. It used to be when you go to a department store and they'd have like a hair place in the back of the department store.
As you got closer.
And it's like, oh.
That weird smell.
Yeah, horrible.
But that was also the smell of perm.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way, folks, listen very carefully. What she said was, perm.
Perm.
P-E-R-M.
Smells like perm in here.
I got perm all over everything.
Okay, all right, stop it. Stop it.
I was hoping we'd get through it that time.
Can't do two. Not two in a row. Update that. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Listen up, small business owners. Vistaprint.com, still with the greatest deal online, in my opinion. You're getting 500 business cards for just $9.99. And remember our code. You love it. You know it. You use it. You need TMOS. Do it at checkout. That's $9.99 for 500 business cards. This is a really terrific deal. It always has been. It's so easy to make great-looking cards. You can pick from tons of industry-specific designs, add your info, and you are there. Oh, yeah.
No, you
are shake it up, baby, now. Or you can upload your own artwork or pictures. We've all made cards at Vistaprint, and they always turn out great.
Great, 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 great,
great, great.
Lower, hand baby, out, lower.
Lower, baby, lower now. Shake it up, baby, now. I hand out my TMOS cards all the time or so. And remember, Vistaprint... Vistaprint has everything you need to market your business.
Yes.
Whether it's flyers, banners, or custom apparel, think Vistaprint, people, and it's all 100% guaranteed. I love this company.
Great
and talk. You know what? One of the first companies to really believe in the Mike O'Meara Show.
Nice.
Love that, too. Vistaprint will make it right if there's any problem at all. 500 business cards on sale, $9.99. Use the TMOS code at Vistaprint.com and do it today to get this incredible offer. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Friday. Is this already the 12th of June?
It is.
Wow.
June 12th.
Oh, time's flying.
Flying.
Absolutely.
Mike, we talked earlier in the show about what a jerk Jerry Seinfeld is and how he seems a lack of gratitude towards people. And we can sort of underscore it with this tape. There is a director in Germany, and I hope I say his name right. I think it's Uwe Boll. B-O-L-L.
U-Boll.
And he...
It's U-Boll.
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 He finances his movies through Kickstarter campaigns. He purposely makes very low-budget, bare-bones, not high-quality movies, basically as a tax dodge. But to finance the tax dodge, he has to go through Kickstarter. His last Kickstarter was not successful. Mm-hmm. He could not make the movie, and he posted a video. You know how when you get to your Kickstarter goal, you post a thank you video?
Yes, yes.
Well, right. He posted a video, this German director... to the people that did not support his most current project.
So, yes, Uwe Boll, and that is the last update. We have only 4 days to do with the Rampage campaign. And that was my third campaign now after Postal 2 failed, after Indiegogo for Rampage 3 failed, and now Kickstarter failed too. And basically my message is, f*** yourself, because that is so f***ing absurd, what retarded amateur idiots collecting money on that absurd website. You know, we get approached by people like Kickstarter, do it, and you have hundreds of thousands of people contacting you to make a fast dime to say I can push your campaign and I get 10% of whatever you collect, and it's all bullshit. I will never do it in my life again. For me, crowdfunding is absolutely dead. Goodbye. And it looks like nobody gives a about Rampage 3, so maybe I shouldn't do it then. I have enough money to play golf till I'm dead, and I was willing to do all of this as the campaigns for to make any money. I want to do Rampage 3 because it is an important movie, but it looks like you're easier giving $600,000 if you make a movie about some retarded wizard in the forest or for another whatever Marvel Avengers bullshit. Dirt. So goodbye, and goodbye, Hollywood.
So, Mike, what I'm saying here is don't burn any bridges.
And he's kind of directing it to everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, he hates everybody and everything. Yeah, but I like his attitude.
I've got enough money to play golf until I'm dead.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You're grounded. Because they asked Mr. and Mrs. Alan Thicke about their son's musical career, Robin Thicke. And yes. I think you'll hear Mr. and Mrs. Thicke on this, but this is Alan Thicke. If I ever made a song and my parents said this, I might just have to shoot myself.
And when we get freaky, we do like sex therapy.
Freaky to your son's voice. It's just...
You have to admit, though, sex therapy is such a good song to get in the mood. Give you sex therapy.
So Alan Thicke
is that, hold on, I gotta stop you and ask you something. You might not know the answer.
What's that?
Is that Mrs. Thicke? Is that the biological mother of Robin Thicke?
No, it's
or is that a chippy that Alan
I think it's his second chippy.
He's traded up.
Because he was for a while he was banging Gloria Loring, wasn't he? Friends and Lovers?
So. I think so. Yeah.
But anyway.
She sounds hot. She sounds hot on that tape.
But hey, Robin, I need the new CD so I can get busy.
Hey, how you doing? It's your dad, Alan. Before I ground you, send me over a copy of the sexual therapy. Thank you.
So yeah. That's creepy. How about this?
By the way, bring over that Emily Ratajkowski or whatever her name is that's all over the internet with her big boobs. Thank you very much.
How about this mashup? You wouldn't think that the Eurythmics and Adele would work together. This is kind of cool.
I know what the song's going to be. I think it's going to work before I even hear the vocal.
I like it better than the real Adele song. It gives it a little bit of a driving
nice.
Bass.
I get this.
I would do that. That's pretty cool, and I like that. So that is.
And I love it. I think Adele's fantastic, and I'm a huge Annie Lennox fan.
That mashup is by a group called Daft Beatles. It's called Rolling in Sweet Dreams. Now, we also talked earlier this week about protecting kids, being a good parent, whether or not you're going to let them watch a fight in Walmart or not. If you let your kid in the backyard barefoot and he steps in dog crap and goes crazy, what do you do? Do you help him out? Do you get him a paper towel? Do you wash it?
Or
do
you wash his foot off with a garden hose or like a pitcher of water?
Do you video it and put it on YouTube?
What happened? Why are you screaming?
What happened, buddy?
Buddy. Two parents.
For what?
It's not even funny.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
and just of course, annoying. What kind of parent? I don't doubt they've got dog shit all over their yard.
Well then,
right?
But, I think they're right.
Probably. You know why they're ready with the camera? Because they know he's going to step in dog crap. Because they, hey buddy, don't pick it up. They don't pick it up.
It's
by
hard.
The way, I try to discipline myself against calling my son buddy.
Yeah.
Because you
please.
See
yeah.
it so. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, what are you doing?
I wanted to offset that with something that is actually heartwarming. There's a guy, he's 78 years old. He lives in Australia. His name is James Harrison. He had surgery when he was young, and they found an antibody in his blood. It was the first time it had ever been discovered. Mm. And it cures a virus called rhesus, which I think it adds the, in a most sort of basic sense, mother's blood cells attack kids' blood cells when they're being born, all right? They were able to isolate his antibody, and he has saved 2 million lives.
Wow.
Because to this day, the only vaccine they have in Australia for this was derived from his blood.
Wow.
And they asked him about it, and this is what he says.
Never once have I watched the needle go into my arm. I can't stand the sight of blood, and I can't stand pain, so... It becomes quite humbling when they say, oh, you've done this or you've done that, or you're a hero. No. I said, it's something I can do. You know? It's one of my talents. Probably my only talent is that I can be a blood donor.
They can quantify 2 million lives he saved.
Humble.
And that's just what he does.
Jerry Seinfeld, take note. Thank you very much.
Please, please.
Absolutely.
And Mike, I never replied to it, but that email you sent me last night, you wanted to know what it would sound like if a man in Thailand put fire ants in his underwear?
Yeah, ooh. I remember sending that to you at midnight, Rob.
It was midnight, a little after midnight.
I
actually found the tape. He is in his underwear. They take a branch full of fire ants, and they rub it where no branch should ever be rubbed. It sounded a little something like this. Thailand.
Look at the joy. Oscar, we're kindred spirits.
It was funny at first.
Yeah, we're kindred spirits, but look at him now. He loves this. This is like the lady gets her face ripped off.
But you know what's nice?
This brings him joy. He's not normal that way.
What is so nice is his friends were standing by with a garden hose.
Twisted man.
And washed his balls clean off. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Friday, everybody.
Buddy, we got to get out of here. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Cappy Pfeiffer, you know I love you. I'll be calling you this weekend. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills. Please, Cappy, don't talk to the other shows. If you wish to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show relies on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, folks, listen up. Go to our website for a free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime Instant Video. All you have to do is go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the white banner that says Amazon Prime Instant Video. It's free. Thank you for listening.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.